Yeah, can also benefit from it. Yeah. Yeah, so today we are going to read from the book of Luke. There's a Bible there if you want, or if you want on your phone. Okay. Yeah, Luke chapter 4. And we are going to read from, we'll try and read, okay, from 14, and we'll see up to where we'll reach. Because I wouldn't want to rush it also, but I want us to see the life of Jesus and also to see how what he went through and how he faced the various things that he went. So maybe if we can read 14 up to 21, and then Tabu, you can read from 22 to 30. Yeah. Luke chapter 4, from 14 to 22. Okay, if you are there, then...
NIV,
yeah? Yeah, either is fine.
Jesus returned to Galilee.
You will read from 22 onwards, no problem. Yeah.
In the power of the Spirit.
Yeah.
And news about him spread through the whole countryside. He was teaching in their synagogues, and everyone believed him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unscrolling it, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, and recovery of sight for the blind, and to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began by saying to them, Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing.
Amen. You can read 22 to the end, to 20, to 30.
And all bearing witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" And he said unto them, "Ye will surely say unto me this proverb, Physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country." And he said, "Verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elias sent, save unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha, the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian. And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath, and rose up and thrust him out of the city, and led him unto the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. But he passing through the midst of them went his way."
Amen. Oh, Jesus is always amazing. I mean, when you read this thing, and you know, this is after he has just come from the wilderness. He has come from the temptation, 40 days fasting. And then he came back to Galilee. And the Bible says that he returned to the Galilee in the power of the Spirit. So after what happened when he was baptized, the Holy Spirit came upon him and rested upon him. Then the Holy Spirit led him to the wilderness. And even during the baptism, he heard the voice, "This is my beloved son with whom I am well pleased." So after he was tested by the devil, the Bible tells us that the devil left him for an opportune time. That tells you how the devil is an opportunist. Eh? He knows when you are strong. And he will leave you alone when you are strong. But he waits for when now you are tired. I usually say there's an acronym, HALT. H-A-L-T. Hungry, when you are angry, when you are lonely, and when you are tired. These are the target times. When you're hungry, you're angry, you're lonely, and you're tired. These are times the enemy comes again. Because he knows that time you are weak. You're weak in the body. When you're angry, that's why I say do not be angry and sin. Because when you're angry, sin is very near. The flesh is easily, you can say something that you regret. When you're lonely, you can think of anything. And that's when the demons can just try and give you ideas to do funny things. And then when you're tired, you have just exhausted. These are dangerous times. Every believer must be on guard. And so he came in the power of the Spirit and he went up to, you know, he started preaching in the synagogues and, you know, Galilee was still not at his home. But then now when he went to his hometown, then what did he do? He went, as it was his custom, to open the, to read the synagogue. He asked for the scroll. The Bible says he opened the scroll of Isaiah. You know that time their Bibles were scrolls. Mm-hmm. So like the law of Moses were big scrolls. You know, major prophets had many books. Like there were books of Isaiah. Like if you see there are like five chapters, you know, something, five divisions of books. So he asked for the scroll. Then he went, he found the place where it was written. Then what does he read? He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor, or the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." I want us to understand this prophecy was for the Messiah. So all Israel knew and understood that the prophecy of Isaiah, of the Spirit of the Lord coming on someone, was coming on the Messiah. It was coming on the Christ. And to them, the Christ was going to be their ruler, was going to be, deliver them from Roman Empire. He was going to be their king. So their expectation was, as he was reading, maybe he was just going to teach them. And you see, when we are with God, we don't know what his plans are and what he can do in any moment. Like, anytime we're with God, we must be expecting him to do something that is unique, something that is powerful. And what does he say? So he now tells them of the characteristics that were expected of the Messiah. One, we can see that the Spirit of the Lord was on the Messiah. The Spirit of the Lord was to be on the Christ. Number two, he was supposed to be anointed. He has anointed me. That means that an anointing is like an extra ability. Is like a power. Is like a gifting. Is like an endowment. Like, you can say that many people sing, but there are few anointed musicians. I think you know that.
Yes.
There are many preachers, but there are few also anointed preachers. Even teachers, even teaching, even if you're a manager, there are managers who are anointed. And even the bosses know, this stuff of mine, anything I do, it's like there's something, even among your children, even if you have many, there's something you know about one child. That you can say, this child, there's something. I cannot put my finger to it, but this child will be great. There's something on the, there's something extra. There's something extra. Now, another thing the Messiah was to do, apart from being anointed, the anointing, which was the Spirit of the Lord coming upon the Messiah. So I want you to correlate that the Spirit coming upon and the anointing are the same. They're not different things. Okay? the Spirit of the Lord coming upon Jesus, there's no another time that he was anointed. Okay? So the same time the Spirit of the Lord came upon him in baptism, that was the time he was also anointed. Okay? So the anointing was mostly a symbol of the Holy Spirit. The anointing is oil. When it says, thou anoint my head with oil, that means, or when David, with the kings who are being anointed, what will they do? They'll pour oil on the head. So that oil was a symbol of the anointing, was a symbol of the Holy Spirit, of the Spirit of the Lord. And that's why you see in the Old Testament, it was only kings, prophets, and priests who had the Spirit of the Lord coming upon them, who are anointed. Okay? It is only these three categories of people who are anointed: prophets, kings, and priests. So either if it's either a king or a judge, in the time where they had judges as rulers, you can see Samson was anointed. If you see David, David was anointed. If you see Solomon, Solomon was anointed. If you see Moses, Moses was a prophet, was anointed. So they had the Spirit of God coming upon them. And that's why even Moses could release his spirit. When he was asked by his father-in-law that these people are going to finish you. You sit from morning to evening attending to all their problems. What you're doing is not right. Look for other people. Make them, divide them into 50s and 50s and families. Put heads over them. Make judges for them. Then let them deal with the small cases. And the big cases, let them bring for you. And for sure, Moses had. And you can see some of the big cases that only came to him was like that case of the daughters of Zelophehad who wanted land. They wanted inheritance. So that one was not in the law. You understand? So that was a big case for Moses to think. And they said, well, okay, they are right. The daughters are right. They have a right. Because their father did not have sons. So I now declare that even daughters are entitled to inheritance. So that they don't lose it. So that was so he obeyed. But you see, in that process, there was a day he God told him, 70 elders, I will take your spirit, the same spirit that is on you, and put it on the 70 elders. And when that happened, they prophesied. And Joshua was saying, stop them. Stop them, Moses. They are prophesying. And Moses said, is it not God's desire that all God's people be prophets? So the desire of God is that the Holy Spirit was not just on these three people. Not just on the prophets, not just on the kings, not just on the priests. The desire of God was that all flesh. That's why when he says, and afterwards I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, on all mankind. Your young men shall dream dreams. Your old men shall see visions. So the Holy Spirit is the anointing. And it was the desire of Moses that all God's people be prophets. That means that the Holy Spirit that comes to us when we receive Jesus is the anointing that we receive. And when that Holy Spirit comes in us, we receive him as a potential. He has every capacity in you. The day you accepted Jesus, you received the Holy Spirit, because that day you became the temple of the Holy Spirit. I know we teach other ways that, baptism in the Holy Spirit. There's nothing wrong with baptism in the Holy Spirit. That is also, it's more of like an infilling. It's like part of the rivers. Remember it says, whoever is thirsty, rivers of living water shall come out of his belly. So there's an outpouring. Now, when you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, and now you with what happens is when you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, you can even speak in tongues, you can even do miracles, you can do so many things. That is just part of the rivers that you received the day you received Jesus. So, it is not that it comes from outside; it comes from inside. It is in you. It's just you to activate it. whoever is thirsty, out of his belly shall flow rivers. That means that everything that God gave you of his spirit when he regenerated you, because when you come to Christ, you become a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. Now, what is the difference between when you are a sinner and when you are a believer? When you are a sinner, you are a natural man. That means you live by your brain. You live by your soul. That means you live by your will, your intellect, your emotions. And that is what makes you different from an animal. The animals only live from their instincts. The animals only live from their instinct. Now, when you find someone has lost their mind, they go back to the animal kingdom. When Nebuchadnezzar lost his mind, what did he do? He ate grass. So the moment you lose your mind, you revert back to the animal life. But when you are in your normal mind, you are in your soul life, soulish life. That means you have a mind, and your mind is also your heart. It's your seat of your will, your emotions, your intellect. Now, anyone who is operating on his animal life cannot beat anyone operating on his soul life, on his mind life. That's why everyone who has developed their mind will always be better than anyone who has not developed their mind. True or false? Anyone who has developed their mind, that's why school is important. And you can see between the apostles, the ones who went to school and the ones who did not went to school, there is a difference. That's why you can see Paul and Peter. And Peter says, for sure, this guy, the things he writes, he recognizes that there is a difference between the writings of Paul. Why? Apart from the revelations that he got, Paul was also learned. He was taught by, is it Gamaliel? Yes, he was under the tutelage, University of Gamaliel. And you see, when the Bible says, to him that knows, more will be added. And he will have an abundance. And to him that has little, even the little he has, will be taken out. So you must purpose to know more about God. The more you know about him, the more is added to you. The limit to which God uses you is the limit to your knowledge. The Bible tells us that his divine power has given us all that we need for life and godliness through knowledge of him. In your encounter, in your epignosis, in your experiential knowledge of God is what determines how you respond to situations. If you know God, if you have been sick before and God healed you, whenever you face the same sickness, what do you say? This one is nothing. If you have been lost your job before and you survived even for 6 months without a job, and God took care of you, even if you now lose your job today, what will you say? The same God who took care of me is the same one who will. And you can just be smiling. Everyone is asking you, what happened? No, I'm fine. I'm good. Why? Because there is a knowledge you have that they don't have. So the anointing, coming back to our focus, what was the anointing to do? One, it was to preach the good news to the poor. The Spirit of the Lord on Jesus was to give him the ability to preach the gospel to the poor. Now, this does not mean that the rich do not need the gospel. The poor here means the poor in spirit. Anyone who does not know Christ, whether you are rich or poor, you are poor. And that's why even if you read Revelation chapter 3, it said, you claim to be rich. You claim to be walking in gold. And he says, but you are naked, pitiful, and empty. Come buy from me, white linen. Come buy from me gold. That means it doesn't matter how much money you have. If you don't know God, you are poor. So the gospel is to be preached to the poor. The gospel basically means it is good news that is too good to be true. That is the meaning of gospel. Like, they're like, this news is too good to be true. And how is it too good to be true? It is because you're telling people that you are a child of God if you accept it. You're telling people that every sin you have committed, when you come to Christ, it is paid for and you become the righteousness of God. You're telling people that when they come to receive Jesus, they receive physical and spiritual and mental, emotional healing on the spot. You're telling people that Jesus will change their lives, will break poverty in their lives. Why? Because he became poor, that we might become rich. You are telling people that even if you're having mental issues, your mind is not stable, when you're coming to him, you receive the mind of Christ. You're telling people that you are now receiving the Spirit of God. You become a temple of God. God lives inside of you. And from that day, you enter the kingdom of God. And as long as you continue believing in this faith, you go to heaven. And you're telling people that it is not based on your human effort. It is only based on what Jesus has done. It is salvation by grace through faith. Grace means that you did not earn it. You cannot earn it. You cannot fast for your salvation. You cannot crucify yourself for salvation. You cannot say you have lived 40 years of holiness for your salvation. You cannot say I've kept the Ten Commandments for your salvation. All that is nothing. All you can say is that Jesus, you paid the price. I accept it by faith. That's why it's too good to be true. How can you tell someone, I have killed people? It doesn't matter. You're in Christ. How do you tell people, oh no, no, this person has been immoral. This person has been a prostitute. They said, I don't condemn you. Jesus asked the woman, is there anyone? She was caught in the very act of adultery. I wonder where the man was, because it was the very act. But it was the woman that was caught. And you asked, now the law of Moses says that we should stone her. And Jesus started writing on the ground. What was he was writing, we don't know. But I suspect what was writing, he was writing, this law that you are saying, I am the one who wrote it. I can list all your sins one by one. I can start. Okay. And then what happens? The elderly people started going on their own. Then the young, until it was just Jesus and the woman left alone. And Jesus asked her, where are they, your accusers? Said, they have gone. Then he asked, since no one condemns you, I do not condemn you either. Go and sin no more. So mercy happens even before the doing. Mercy of God is number one. We just come to God in mercy. We just come to God in mercy. Simple. And let me ask you, when you become a child of you have a son, yes. When your son entered your home, is there a day he stopped being your son? Huh?
No.
There is no day your child stops being your child. Why do we think that we can stop being God's children? Even if your son messes up, is he still your child? He's still your child. Why do we think God is more wicked than earthly parents? Now, when we are in Christ, when we become children of God, it doesn't, we don't lose our relationship, our father-sonhood relationship. That is why our salvation in Christ is assured. Your focus now is not going to heaven. That one was settled by Christ as long as you believe it. Going to heaven was settled by Christ. The only day you will lose your salvation is the day you say, I don't want to be a Christian. I don't believe in Jesus. I want to make a deal with the devil. And you go to the marine waters for powers. Now that one, you have left a covenant that you have with God, the new covenant, the New Testament, and you have made a decision to enter into the devil's covenant. Now, that is a different thing. You understand? It's like your son coming and say, today, I am not your child. You will look at him and say, okay, I still love you. You are still my child. But the day the child goes and even changes his name, legally, and goes to another family, that day you will say, I lost him. True or false? So, in our walk with God, God being our Father, we don't lose our salvation by the mistakes that we do here and there. Now, what does that mean? It means that children are constantly making mistakes. A child will constantly soil themselves. The parent will clean them up. So, in our walk with God, as we are growing, we make mistakes. But the Bible says, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us and to purify us from all unrighteousness. So our walk in Christianity is a walk of a renewal of fellowship. So you don't lose your relationship, father-son, but what you break is fellowship. And when you confess your sins, even in your heart, you feel, now my daddy is happy with me. Huh? You understand? Why? Because there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. But you see, that child, can you buy a car for this child? Even if you love this child, can you buy a car for this child? 5-year-old boy, he is crying for a car. You'll only give him a toy car. But you see, when this child grows to be 18, you'll think, okay, go for driving school. But you will still not buy the car. Until maybe he's 30. And even you might say, you buy for yourself. The money that I have is for my retirement. Huh? Why? Because you realize there's a difference in maturity. So all of us are sons of God. We are children of God. To all those who believed in Him, we gave them the right, the power to become children of God. So the power to become a child of God is given by Christ. But now there is a process of spiritual maturity that you grow. Now, as you grow, you start to realize there are things that you used to do, you don't do them. And you will have to make a decision. There are things you will have to decide. I used to go for these parties, but I cannot go anymore. I used to take this kind of drinks, but I cannot take... I used to smoke, but I cannot do this. Why? Because whatever I do destroys the temple. I used to maybe commit immorality, but I cannot unite my body, God's spirit, with a prostitute. So you see, the more you come to the awareness of what Christ has done, the more you cannot fall into sin. And the more you will not live in sin. Remember, there are two words. There's falling into sin and there's living in sin. The Christian can fall into sin. That means you should not fall into sin. But there's a possibility that you can fall into sin. That means unwillingly, something happened, someone stepped on you, what. You're not in control of your tongue, you say something wrong, you hurt your wife, what. That is falling into sin. But living in sin is pre-calculated. It's premeditated, like it's murder. You cannot just kill someone. There's manslaughter and murder. Eh? You cannot just kill someone. You have calculated. Or even immorality. You have calculated. You have estimated the time. You know no one is there. You have estimated the place. You have booked the hotel. Everything. Now, that one is living in sin. Because at each and every moment, the Holy Spirit is telling you what you are doing is not correct. But what do? You grieve him. And you silence his voice. And that day when the Holy Spirit stops speaking to you, you are soon about to actually lose your salvation. Why? Because you have decided you will eat the cup, you'll drink the cup of idols. So when we receive the Spirit of God, he can do multiple things in us. There is someone who will receive wisdom. There is someone who will receive miracles. There's someone who will receive the evangelistic. There's someone who will receive apostolic. There's someone who will receive just service. Just serving people. And they're happy. Whether they will never be a pastor or not, they're just happy being an usher. They just come with a smile. They're just happy. And anyone sees them, they're like, and I want to go to that church. That guy just talked to me nicely. Just that. That is just, and it's just the fruit of the Holy Spirit. So what we see is the fruit manifesting in your life. It's not about the gift that tells us that you're actually growing in maturity. It's just love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. And remember, it does not say fruits of the Holy Spirit. It is fruit. That means this is one fruit that has... So you should not say that I have only love, but I lack patience. Eh? It is a one component that as you grow in maturity, you show your love, you show your peace, you show your gentleness, you show your kindness, you show your patience, you show your self-control. All this is a fruit. It's a fruit of the Spirit. So walk in the step with the Spirit and you'll not gratify the desires of the flesh. So, what did the Spirit do in Jesus? Preaching the good news to the poor. He sent him to proclaim freedom for the prisoners. That tells you, when God's Spirit come on you, you have no right to be in bondage. When you come to Jesus, the devil has no right to put you under bondage. That is why a Christian cannot be possessed by a devil. How can the devil possess you as a Christian and yet the Holy Spirit is also inside you? Is that possible? It's not possible. But the demons can oppress you if you lack knowledge. And this is what we have been learning in the mornings, eh? That the demons, and actually this is something that I also personally have been learning, they are very intelligent beings. Apart from intelligence, they even know our thoughts, they can see our thoughts, and they can see our weaknesses. And I was saying that if you decide, if in your mind you say that, I need to pray so that I can sleep well, I will not be attacked by demons, what they will do is that day you pray, they will not attack you. For sure, they will not attack you. The second day you pray, they will not attack you. Why? Because they want to reinforce a stronghold in your mind that God only protects you when you have prayed before you sleep. Then the day you don't pray, they will hammer you properly in the night. And then you'll say, oh, it's because I did not pray. So that night you pray. They will, I don't go to him today. He has prayed. The second day is prayed. The third day they fail to pray. They come, they hammer you again. But you see, the true knowledge of evil spirits and their power is that they were disarmed. Where is your position in Christ? You are seated with Christ in heavenly places, far above all thrones, all powers, all dominions, all principalities. Where is Christ? Far above them. Where are you? You are in Christ there, far above them. Where is your life? Your life is hidden in Christ. So if you don't know that, your mind will be thinking you are still in the earthly realm. And because you still think they can oppress you, they will oppress you. Why? Because your faith allows them to oppress you. So it is your knowledge of your position in Christ that determines your deliverance. The day you know that demons are where you are seated in Christ, you can't even see them. You are like Daniel in the midst of lions. They are watching you, but there's nothing they can do. In fact, they're even scared of you because this one knows that we have no power. James chapter 4, verse, is it 3 verse 7 or 4 verse 7? Says, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. So if the devil is supposed to run, what should the demons do? They are to take off. As long as you are submitted to God, when you resist the devil, he runs. The devil is actually the chief deceiver. He will give you any, and even he will give those teachings to pastors. So you find churches are just teaching how, like, let me say, I once went to a church in, I went to a new town where I was going to do my internship. And I was looking for a church. So I happened to enter one church. I won't mention the name. And the topic of that day was types of demons. And the pastor was preaching in Swahili seriously that there's a type of demon that is short. I don't know, Mbilikimo is like a dwarf. That one will make your life dwarfed. You never progress in life. Nothing you do, what. Then he started saying, there's another demon that makes women attractive. Every man wants to look for them. What? The men, what? And I just said, my God, what did I enter into? Eh? And then I said, if I try to get out, they will say I have the demon. They will say, catch that one. And then, you know, the way they can slap you properly. So I say, now I have to be strategic how I can leave this church. So I waited. Then they started now praying for people. Now, of course, because you have already called those demons to come, and you have already taught the people that they are under threat of demons, of course they will manifest. So now they start casting out those demons. And you just see, then I was watching. Then I started walking back slowly. When I saw the usher was not looking, poof, I got up and I said, thank God. Never again. But you see, when the Revelation tells us that people have learned the doctrines of Satan, the deep teachings of Satan, that is what the people are learning. People are learning about the devil instead of learning about God. If you just know God and your position in Christ, you don't even need to worry about principalities. You don't even need to worry about angels. Angels are lower. Even if someone tells you, oh, I saw this big angel, it's okay. Angels are ministering servants. Where I am, I'm in Christ. I'm much higher than them. Whether someone tells you the principality of this land. So who is a principality? In Colossians chapter 3 verse 14, they were disarmed publicly and made a public spectacle of them. When someone is disarmed, they don't have any power. But if you're not in Christ, they have the power. It's not that they have the power when you're outside Christ. But when you, because the same lions, when those guys who accused Daniel were thrown in, those lions were really hungry. And they did not, those guys did not touch the ground before they were destroyed. Likewise, if you are not in Christ, you are a victim. And that is why people are victims to witchcraft. Witchcraft is real, yes, but if you're in Christ, they can't see you. They try to see you in their water, in their bowls. They can't see you. Why? Because when they see light, you are hidden in Christ. Your life is covered in Christ. Your life is in Christ and Christ is in God. So how can the devils find you? How can simple wizards find you? But when you're outside Christ, that is why the day people step out of Christ, you find a priest, the day he decides now to sleep with a woman, they usually die in that bed. They usually die on that dead. But why? Because they stepped out of cover. And the devil knows this one is the only day I have to get him today. Mm-hmm. Eh? The devil knows is the only day I have a chance to get him. And they get you. If not for the mercy of God. And you see, by the time God releases you for judgment, it's not God who judges. God just allows you. Every evil thing is from the devil. God has no evil. God will just, because it is you that walked out of him, not him. Freedom. We have freedom in Christ. We cannot be bound. We have sight, healing. And you can see recovery of sight for the blind. This is healing. The Messiah was actually to bring healing, both spiritual sight and physical sight. And you can read it further in, I think it's Luke chapter 7, when John the Baptist sent his disciples to ask, what did Jesus do? He just started demonstrating power. Heal the sick, heal the blind, he did all. Then he told them, go and tell John what you have seen. The deaf hear, the blind speak, the blind see, the mute speak. In that, if John, you remember the prophecy of Isaiah, what is the prophecy of Isaiah for the Messiah? He's going to do this. What have you seen? It is done. So don't ask again. You see, Jesus does not need to answer you. Practical. Likewise, for us in Christ, we can do the same practical things. We can raise the dead. We can heal the sick. It is not for someone special. It is you to believe that God has, the same spirit he gave Jesus is the same spirit he has given. In fact, for you now, you are better. Why? Because you don't just have the Holy Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit, you have Jesus, and you have the Father. You have more than even what Jesus had. Because Jesus said, when I go to the Father, I will ask the Father to send the Spirit. And the Spirit will come and with the Father and me and make our home in you. So the answer we are looking for from above, we should be looking for it from. We have the authority. The authority is in us. And also it says to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. That means you are favored of God. You are favored. You don't need to buy blessing. You don't need to pay for blessing. You don't need to sow seeds for blessing. You cannot be cursed. You and Christ already became the curse for you. When it says year of the Lord's favor, 1 year of the Lord is how many years? 1,000 years. So you have 1,000 years of favor. It's not that someone will say, no, it's just your time to shine. You will keep shining and shining for the rest of your life. We grow from one level of glory to another. So you cannot say, my season has ended. How can your season end? You bear fruit in all season, favored of the Lord. And you see, he does not finish, because if you read the original prophecy, it continues and to proclaim judgment. So the reason why Jesus stopped here is because when he came now, he did not come to do the judgment. The final judgment will come when he's coming for his second coming. That is the time he will come as a judge. And there is no time. Time of the judge is coming. But for now, he has given us the victory. Know who you are in Christ. And you can imagine, after he has said all this, he now starts asking, but you, you, are you not Joseph's son? Are you not, are your sisters not here with us? We have married them. Are you not the carpenter's son? Familiarity. And that is why John the Revelator said that we used to know Christ after the flesh. Right now, when I look at you, I just see maybe an African. But you have the glory of God hidden in your flesh. The full glory of God is hidden in flesh. That's why it says we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Everyone in Christ has a treasure. That it's only God to open our eyes to see it. We just see someone is short, is what? But if God is just to open your eyes to see, and that is the mystery of God. He decided to hide his glory in mud. In mud. And you see, principalities are just watching. The Bible says that the church is to teach the principalities and powers the manifold wisdom of God. Ephesians chapter 3. So, all these principalities, the angels, all those guys, they are watching to learn about God from watching us. Because they don't see God. They can't see God. They have never seen God. But they can only see the character of God from us. Hidden in flesh. Glory hidden in flesh. Know your value. Know who you are. That's why no one can challenge you with a job or a contract. You carry so much in you that you can never worry about simple things. Because God loves you. And I think I will stop there. And you see, that's why when they tried to throw him off the cliff, what did he do? He just... Because if it is not your time, no one can kill you. If it's not your time, no one can kill you. You just walk. He will just give you the room of escape. He walked through them. What happened? They thought they were pushing someone. Then the guy just said, "Hey, I did not come to die on a cliff." He just turned and went through them. You will walk through situations like that are meant to destroy you, and they will not manage. May the Lord bless his reading here. Yeah. And then if there's any reflection, you can reflect, and then we'll pray together.
Thanks for that reminder, Dr. Manuel. I mean, God says, the Bible says, if you have faith even as small as a mustard seed, you can tell this mountain move from here to there. But, I mean, the devil has been so clever in making us forget our value and
God. Yes.
To a point that he planted that fear. And you think that, okay, you know, I'm not an inheritor of the kingdom. I'm here. And that's why you find Christians using terms as I'm a survivor. I'm a hustler.
Yeah.
We are not hustlers.
Yeah,
we are not survivors.
At all.
Yeah. We are heirs of this kingdom. So until we get to that realization, and the devil is very wise. When he sees you are beginning to awaken consciously,
he now attacks you.
He
does
now attack you.
He hammers you so that you go back.
He goes to the places we fear the most. I think Job said, that which I dreaded the most came to me. So he knows, okay, this is what you fear the most. Let me go there. You see? So I think it's a good reminder that the devil's bullying and teasing is limited, and it's temporary. He eventually gives up. If he sees you are steady fast, he's just shaking the tree.
Yeah.
<It's fun. laughs>
Yeah, he has to shake you a bit to check your faith. Check your faith.
Now if you, every time he shakes you, you and put the ball
on. I know this one is weak.
And this is the truth. Because as human beings, sometimes we are so attached to worldly desires, material things. And you find a man with all his heart, with all his mind, is attached to what he has achieved on earth. So any attempt to say, let me follow Christ, and Christ touches any of that, says, oh no, I think I followed him. let me do this in silence. Let me not. So thank you, Dr. Manu, for that. It's not as easy as it sounds.
Yeah, true,
but,
I know.
It takes, continuous growth in knowledge, understanding the word. Because once you understand it, and that is another thing, I mean, we perish because of lack of knowledge. We cannot make reference to the teaching.
Yeah.
Everything is in the Bible.
Yeah.
But we sometimes seek from philosophers, from worldly knowledge, to try and, you know, define situations we are facing, we try and explain situations. But everything is written.
Yeah.
And once we understand that, then it's easy. It's easy.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks a lot. I think I'll learn that.
Sound good.
Mm. Yeah, stay blessed. Yeah. You know, sometimes, as you mentioned it, maybe it's God's time when decide that you are privileged to learn some truths.
Mm.
It's the day that changes all
your
the
mindset.
Yes,
the yeah.
mindset. As otherwise, okay, as you mentioned, because of this, how we came, even if we've been Christianity for so many long, that doesn't mean you understand
yeah,
the
fully.
Truth.
Yes, yeah.
Which sets you free.
Mm.
Same you said when you pass by that church.
Yeah.
We're supposed to praise the glory of God is preaching the identities and
oh,
types of
demons.
So if our mind is full of that,
yeah.
mostly, unfortunately, from the side I came from, the teachings are not as such foundational ones.
Mm.
Okay? It's not from bad intention.
It's the knowledge, what they know.
The knowledge. So
yeah.
That means we lack the big foundation on which big buildings were to be built. So today, really, I was very surprised and also praised God that I have these words,
Amen.
Which are true,
Amen.
And which it will help me personally for me.
Amen.
It's for me as if I'm taking Christ today.
Amen.
You know,
no, it is okay.
Why? Because these are the truths that you need to hold unto you.
Amen.
Then the other things are administrative things which can easily you can easily handle.
Manage,
so
yeah.
really, God bless you, my brother.
Amen.
And
I'm grateful.
I hope I will benefit a lot from this fellowship and friendship, and I will learn.
Yeah.
That will help me reshape my my path.
You know, you're
blessed.
You're blessed of God, and it's such a blessing to hear that from you.
Yeah.
And let me say something. The day we understand Christ is actually the day we become born again.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I look at it.
Yeah.
The day we actually come to the full understanding that we are sons of God is the day you enter freedom.
Yes.
You enter freedom.
By the way, let me stop it. While you are preaching and telling us some things, okay, I'm listening to you, and at the same time, in my automatic mind, I'm preparing action plan. Okay, it's a simultaneous.
Amen.
Yeah, so, okay, by the help of God, I will do this.
Amen.
When you deliver some statement, then I will listen to that, and at the same time, take some homework for me.
Amen.
Because you don't, it's not, all days are not yours.
Yeah.
God gives you one day which will radically change everything.
Amen.
Yeah.
And not just for you, also for your family and your church.
Exactly.
And that's the thing.
I consider this day as that special day, really.
Thank God. Hallelujah. We'll talk more after. Let's just, we can close the service. We can just give thanks to God, and then we'll pray together, and then we'll close it. We thank you. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. Thank you for speaking to us.
for the message of Christ, O God. Thank you for speaking to us, O God. Sanctify us, purify us, O God, as Jesus. Thank you, the Lord, you have called us sons of God. Thank you, Jesus, that you clothed us with glory. God, we thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the truth of your Son, O God, O God, Jesus. Thank you for the truth of your Spirit, O God, Jesus. Thank you for the truth of the gospel, O God. It's too good to be true, O God. Thank you that we receive it, O God, that you cleanse us, O God. You purify us even more and more. Thank you that you make us holy. You make us holy. That you have loved us. You have loved us. You have loved us. You have loved us with an everlasting Jesus. You have loved us with an everlasting love, O God. That it's not because of what we have done, but it's just your mercy, O God. It's just your mercy, O God. It's just your mercy, O God. It's just your mercy. It's just your mercy, O God, O God, Jesus. Oh, the effect of your Spirit. The effect of your Spirit. The effect of your Spirit. Working in us. Working in us, O God, making us righteous, O God, making us holy, O God, making us vessels of honor, making us vessels of honor, O God, that we stay, that we want to serve you, O God. We want to serve you even more, O God. We want to serve you, O God, as children of God. We want to serve you, O God, as mature sons of God. We want to take responsibility for the things of God. We want to take responsibility to do the things that you have called us to do in this land, O God. In our families, in our churches, oh God, in our nations, oh God, you have brought us to the truth, oh God, to the truth that you called us your own, that you called us your son, oh God, that you called us your son, your children. We are your children, oh God. We are your children, oh God. You have brought us to truth, oh God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for my brother Dino. Thank you for my brother Tabu, oh God. Thank you for myself. Thank you for the simple truth that you've given us, the truth that sets us free, oh God, that we are free to praise you. We are free to honor you. We are free to pray to you, O God, O God, Jesus. We are free to trust in you. We are free to depend upon you. We are free to honor you, O God. We are free to receive our healing, O God. We are free to receive our healing. We are free to receive our healing, O God. Our bodies are healed this morning, O God. Our souls are healed this morning. Our minds are healed this morning. We receive favor from on high. We receive the full package of the Spirit, the full package of God, the full package of you in us, oh God. We are sons of God. We carry your presence everywhere we go, oh God. We are the representation of Christ on this earth, oh God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We are members of your body, oh God. Thank you, Lord, for this new day of salvation, oh God, for my brother. Thank you, the Lord. He is now your son, oh God. He is your child with a full understanding, with a full comprehension of what you have called him to be, oh God. May you walk in truth, oh God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you have never rejected anyone who has come to you, oh God. You have never counted our sins against us, and you do not count our sins against us, oh God. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There is no condemnation because the law of the Spirit of life has set us free from the law of sin and death, oh God. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, God. Thank you for the new life in Christ. We are grateful, oh God. Thank you, the Lord, you are changing nations one person at a time. You are changing families one person at a time. You're changing lives one day at a time. And we walk in the truth and the liberty of the sons of God. And I thank you that everything aligns for us, oh God. Times and seasons align for us, oh God. Jobs align for us, oh God. Our children account for us, oh God. Our families are in order, oh God. Our marriages are blessed, oh God. Our children are blessed. Those that are sick are made well, oh God. That sickness falls off our bodies. Cancer has no business being in our bodies, oh God. We receive life. Life everlasting. The abundant life. We walk in it from today, henceforth, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
We pray and believe.
Amen.
Amen. May your name be praised, be worshipped, and be glorified. In Jesus' mighty name we pray and believe.
Amen.
Amen. Let us share the words of the grace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen. Walk in the freedom and the truth that you are a son of God.
Amen.
And you're a child of God.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.